Good afternoon, everybody. Well, it sounds like you're all having a great time at Connecting. It's wonderful to see and it's wonderful to hear. And just a reminder that you can still connect after the sermon later on, just outside here. So we're going to start today. For those of you who don't know, we've been going on a journey, going through the first letter of John. And we're doing a little preaching series, and we're more than halfway through, and we've only got two more chapters to get through, and then we're almost done there. So last month, I spoke to you guys about a love triangle in the Bible, where we find God the Father and us and the world. We find that we are in this relationship with God and the world. And we see how God was calling us to choose Him, to go exclusive with Him, no one else but Him. And since then, Pastor Richard's continued walking us through John's letter, telling us the good news about how we are being transformed to be like Christ, having the Spirit of God in us, like it's an engine powering us to not be ashamed of the gospel, powering us to acknowledge our sin and not let us enjoy living in our sin, and teaching us that if we are gospel followers, we are to practice to love God and to practice to love each other. After all, Jesus revealed that God is not just Yahweh, but God is the Father. And with Jesus as our big brother, He brought us into this Father's family where we can now love each other as brothers and sisters. It's a beautiful story. Well, since we are in this exclusive relationship with God, the Father, today we are going to take it to the next level, which means it's time for a DTR. That's today's sermon title. It's called the DTR Talk. Has anyone heard of the DTR talk before? One person. Does anyone know what it stands for? No? Why don't you ask your neighbor, what does it stand for? Hey, it's not data transmission. Who said that? It's not digital tape recorder. Who said that? Don't trust redheads. Who said don't trust redheads? No, it's not saying that either. Well, if you guys don't know, it's about time I tell you, which means we've got to go to our always trusty Urban Dictionary definition. DTR, define the relationship. When two people discuss their mutual understanding of a romantic relationship, for example, casual dating, serious boyfriend, etc. It's Urban Dictionary's definition. Examples of uses. I think we're officially dating, but we've never actually said so. Time to DTR. Another example, they had been dating exclusively for 3 months. So it was time for the DTR talk. If you ever find yourself in a conversation that sounds like, hey, how are we going? Or, where do we see this relationship going? Where do you see us in 5 years' time? Do you think we make good friends? Or could we be better as more than friends? If you're in those types of conversations, you, my friend, are in a DTR. Especially the guys who might not realize that that's what's happening. It's happening. So basically, it's a time to set some boundaries of the relationship and define what it is. And so for you and me in this relationship, this exclusive relationship with God our Father, God wants to have that DTR talk with us. Are you ready? Which brings us to this week's passage from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. So I'd like to encourage you, go get out your Bible apps, and if you can turn to that verse, that would be great. And I'll start off by reading that whole passage, and then we're going to walk through it together. It's 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. So John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." That's our passage for today. The first part, testing the spirits. As you read John's letter, you catch on to these big ideas that he uses. He uses themes like light versus darkness, life versus death, love versus hate, Christians versus deceivers, false prophets, or the ones who came from us, us versus them. And up to now, he's been progressing this idea that we are from God and have his love. We know of his love. As Pastor Richard preached last week, we are to practice to love God and practice to love each other. Very simple. And that love is going to progressively overcome the world. So now we have this passage that's going to focus on testing the spirits, which is quite unique because he not only instructs us to do it, but he tells us how to do it, how to test the spirits. So God is bringing this chat into our little DTR talk with him, because it's not enough for us to know, just to know him. As John's told us before, it's also abiding in him, our actions, our outward expression. And if we are to abide by Christ in the world, we need to go in with our eyes open, not with our head in the sand, but to be aware or on the lookout. That's the force of this verse. John even gives us the reason, which is to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. So, false prophets, who are they? What are they? They're basically people who claim to preach things of God, but they're not truthful things. And sometimes it can be even trickier because they can claim to be one of us. So here's an example from the Old Testament, just to show you that these false prophets aren't just people who have just come out of nowhere, but they've been around for a very, very long time. And I'm going to read you something from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy chapter 13. This is thousands of years ago. It says, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' the other gods, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Let me give you another verse from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20. "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if that word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord God has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. These guys have been around for a very long time. And on the surface, it may seem that it's quite hard to discern whether someone's a false prophet or not. But what we can see is that God is very much aware. He's very much aware of them. From the gospel itself, from Jesus, he says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Again in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, Jesus again says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." But it doesn't stop there. So we've heard in the Old Testament, in our old scriptures, this awareness of false prophets. We've heard from Jesus himself coming to address those false prophets. And doesn't stop there. It continues on with the apostles themselves. From 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "And we, the apostles, we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And finally, one more from Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So there is a warning from John to avoid coming under the teachings of a false prophet. He calls them previously deceivers, and they preach things that are of different spirits, which he says are the spirits of the world. Things of the world, of darkness, of death, of Satan's rule, of the Antichrist. These are all his ways of saying the same thing, to be aware of that. The Antichrist is anything or anyone that is against Christ's gospel. But we are left wondering how. How do we know the difference between these spirits from the world versus the Spirit of God? And that's when he tells us in verses 2-3, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." In John's time, there is a clear message that the people who went out from those Christians were ones that denied that Jesus was from God, i.e., that they didn't believe God would come as a human baby. They believed Jesus was a man rather than God himself. So today, Jesus is going to get his time in the spotlight as truly God. You might wonder why that's important. Well, perhaps that's a conversation for you and me to continue another time, but essentially, if Satan wanted to create doubt in a believer's heart, one of his tactics would be to deny that Jesus was God. To say that Jesus was only man would mean that Jesus was only a man with wise sayings. At best, he could be a prophet. Yet, he's more than that. It's actually because he is God that he can be our great high priest eternally. And that, my friends, is a massive deal, because that's how he can keep on saving us from our sins. He sits on his throne forever, judging righteously that we are forgiven and set free. No man can do that. What does God want us to hear today? It's that we have to know our gospel. We have to know not to compromise on it. We have to hold on to the truth of that gospel, and we have to pass on the truth of the gospel to our next generation to come. This is what the Holy Spirit is for, and this is what the Holy Spirit does. It tells us what the truth of the gospel is, so that we can go out into the world and test it against the rest of the world. The Holy Spirit is the person who brings out our gospel confession, and he makes sure that it's preserved so that it will withstand the lengths of time. So this is where you and me, we need to ask ourselves, what is the gospel? What are the core things about that gospel? What are the main events? Who are the main people? How does it come about? That's a question for each of us to take on ourselves. It's a question to ask ourselves whether we hold on to that gospel. And if you haven't heard it before, this will be the opportunity to hear it in the next 5 minutes that we have. Our scriptures tell us that God sent his only son. He came as a baby, just like you and me. It makes Jesus very relatable as a human, one who can understand everything that we go through, even our deepest fears, our deepest struggles, on the inside and out. He came to be our great representative. The gospel also tells us that he was sinless. There will be teachings out there who try to question that, who try to make us doubt, saying that if he's just like you and me, wouldn't he be sinful? That's what makes him different. He was sinless. It's what our scriptures tell us. The scriptures tell us that he lived among us, and when it was time to do his ministry, he performed miracles, fulfilling promises that people had held on to for thousands of years, that a day would come for those miracles to be seen, knowing that it was time for the Savior to arrive. And the Bible tells us that he eventually makes his way to the cross where he dies. Not just because it's part of what happens to him, but that he goes to that cross for us, to be the perfect sacrifice so that he can pay for the sin, so that he can pay the price that will cover us from all condemnation. And the gospel will tell us that he rose again. He defeated death, the wages of sin. He was resurrected, bringing us a new life. And it will say that he gave some final words to his closest people and to ascend to be with the Father. There will be teachings out there who try to have a go at our gospel, that will try and pick apart these parts of the gospel, but we need to hold on to these truths. The call for us today, I think, is to go for a season of getting to know Jesus all over again. Know his life. Know what he did. Why he did it. Why did he live that way? What makes us so special that he would go to the cross for us? Figure out those things. One of the things that God will reveal through his Spirit is this thing called love. He truly loved us so much that he would die on that cross for us. And so let's not forget what John's been talking about all this time, about this great thing called love. How God the Father loves us so much that he would send his only Son for you and me. That is some good news to spread out there. That is something that we need to hold on to, and we therefore need to see things in that light. So when we do go out there during the week, and when we do adventure out there proclaiming the good news, we should be seeing things through the lens of that gospel. That's what the Spirit will do in you. That's what the Spirit will draw you close to those truths and make sure that you don't deviate from it. That is the risk we have, that we will deviate. There are people who came from us, who went out. The Holy Spirit will be the one to keep us going. Practice loving God, practice loving each other. And so the passage continues in verse 4 to 6. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. All of this means that by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So coming back to our DTR talk, it's this thing about you and I have to not be ashamed of the gospel. In our modern day, I don't know if you noticed this, but it's harder for our gospel truth to stay out there. We need to hold on to that. We do that unashamedly. What would it mean to be ashamed of that gospel? Compromise. But the Holy Spirit is in you. He has been overcoming the trickery of the evil ones since the beginning of the fall. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't think that that is weird. The world will call you weird. They will call you a fool. We know this. Paul tells us this. But amongst us, you are not foolish. He has given to you the gospel. Don't be ashamed of that. He has given you permission to learn and to grow. This is the great message of grace in his gospel. Because of our sin, our imperfections, our mistakes, our errors, he provides that grace to us to be forgiven, to be saved once and for all. So let us show that grace to one another. The Spirit will do that for us. And finally, in closing, I want to repeat to you the passage from 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Brothers and sisters, God is giving us permission to be trained in righteousness, tested out. John's welcoming us to test the spirits with this knowledge. He's welcoming us to test our belief in the gospel. He's welcoming us against all challenges. I welcome people to come and speak to me and Pastor Richard with any questions of what it's like to test the spirit out in the world. Not because we have answers, but because if these spirits aren't tested, if they're not brought to light, then they'll remain in darkness, and which means this family will too. So by you testing the spirit out there in the world, by you unashamedly showing that gospel, that good news of Jesus Christ out in the world, it means this family will become more healthy as we go.